thank the Lord this morning for salvation.
Yes, amen.
I was thinking, sitting here, we miss Brother Souders so much. I wonder what he would be, his greatest desire, if he was able to express it this morning. No doubt it would be that this truth be carried on, wouldn't it? Like he had labored so fervently to carry it on. And no doubt that would be his expression, that we continue to carry the truth on, clean work for God. And then I thought, where would that idea come from? Where did he get that? That was born in the heart of God. Some of God looking down and seeing us and trouble. We surely appreciate the truth. We appreciate this congregation somehow. It just seemed like it's kind of fit in with this congregation. We love each one. We appreciate each one. There's a scripture in Revelation 3. Excuse me for using Revelation, but we don't apologize for his word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, hear my voice and open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The Lord loves us and he wants to be all in all to us. I was thinking about this Sunday school lesson this morning that was rich and good. That eternal death is a terrible thing, isn't it? Death. We were dead in trespasses and sin. The wages of sin is death, isn't it? The wages. Eternal death. Really, what is that? Being separated from God is eternal death, isn't it?
Separated from God and all goodness.
Yeah. Being separated from his blessing, his presence, and all of that, eternal death. But the gift of God, something he gives us, is eternal life. So we thank the Lord for that. Well, we need your prayers as we get into our lesson. This is a little unusual, especially for today's resurrection. I certainly believe in the resurrection. I enjoy the resurrection. If I would look at a scripture that is so familiar with all of us, especially at funerals, John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, we might read a little bit there. John, the 14th chapter, gives us some thoughts we want to get. Ye believe in God, is that the way it goes? Someone read it right out for me. Brother Larry, if you have it there.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me.
Yes. Go right ahead a few verses.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Yes.
I go to prepare a place.
Here's what I want you to get right here now. I go to prepare a place.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
And if I go, he's going to come again. You know, the Lord's going to come one of these days, isn't he? Be good if he'd come today, wouldn't it? Just be good. Go out and meet the Lord. What a reception. What will it if he come again, and what does he say you do?
And where I am, then you may be also.
Yeah. But read that over again, just a little before that. But if you go.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
There, and receive you unto myself. That's some reception, isn't it? That's going to be a great reception. If I go, I will come. I believe that, don't you? It's true. That's the word of the Lord. And I will receive you unto my... Think of that. That's the greatest reception that ever could have. We have. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the way you know... Well, that's the main thought we have there. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He is a loving Father. Just have a little Bible study around here. Galatians 4 and 4 gives us a little starting place here. When all things are prepared, God is going to come. He said He's going to come and going to receive us and unto Himself. Now, He isn't sending some ambassadors or something going to receive. He is going to receive us Himself. Oh, what a glorious reception that would be. You know, in the weddings and marriages and all the things they have, the receptions and receiving each other. But He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice..." I believe He's standing at the door, not only of individual hearts, but a congregation at church. Many church meetings that's going on today. He would like to come in and sup with us.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus. You know, He talked to Philip. Philip was quite an evangelist over there in the early part. He said that Philip, he wanted to prove him. And he said, I believe he's out there and the multitude was following him, and they said they didn't have anything to eat, and they followed him about 3 days, I believe, and he was hungry. He couldn't go away. And he asked Philip, how are we going to do this? And Philip began to figure out, just like mankind, you know, if we had $100, if we had all this, we wouldn't buy enough food for them. But someone else spoke up and said, here's a boy that had 2 fishes, wasn't it? There's 5 fishes, 2 loaves and 5 fishes. I don't know how it was. But there it changed over into a spiritual realm. He began to catch it. We're so prone to let the Word of God just slip on past us and not get anything from it. But here's a boy that had a little, well, bring him to me. That's what he wants. And he went ahead and used him, didn't he? Philip become a great man there. And even though he couldn't see that spiritually. And Philip is a man that Jesus was talking with, especially interested in. And Philip said to him, there in John, we better get John too, about 7th and 8th chapter, about Philip and about John. God is, we had in the lesson the other night, about how great God is. When our mind begins to think about the Lord, then our soul just cries out, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. O Lord my God, how great Thou art. He magnifies Himself to us. He is a great shepherd. And we get our picture of God, what God is, and what makes Him God. And that's what we have been working with. We use the scripture over in Job. Acquaint thyself with Him and be at peace. Get acquainted. That's been the theme of our lesson, is to get better acquainted with God.
Yes,
and if we get better acquainted with Him, I believe we'll get along better, don't you? In all of our daily works and walks and all. And Philip talking to Jesus there, and he said, if thou had chosen the Father, then that would sign, that would fix it all up, just show us the Father. I trust you have it in your mind this morning about get acquainted with God. Who is God? Where is he? You have pictured him, especially in the book of Psalms, about the great I am, the great God of heaven. All things are his. On the throne unlimited, God. But still, he looked down, didn't he?
Yes, amen.
Bringing God down on this bargaining table, getting a hold of him, getting better acquainted with him. Philip said, show us the Father, and that'll just fix things up for us. And what did Christ say? Philip, you have been with me day after day and living with me these 2 or 3 years, how long it's been, maybe longer than that, I wouldn't know. And ask us out. Show us the Father, and it suffices us. What was the answer that Christ gave him? He that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. That's the answer that Christ gave him.
Yes,
and that is the true answer. And that is the part that's hard for us to get a hold of. As we mentioned the other night about Jesus taking upon him a body in the form of a man and suffering and dying and being resurrected and all of that, we kind of are able to grasp that and get a hold of it. And those truths along that line would help. But when we go to talking about the Father, he seemed to be a great God is sitting on his throne, unlimited. He can do anything, and he said to come boldly to his throne. And it's a little harder to get a hold there. But Christ told Philip, he that has seen me, you better use what the picture that you have of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the Father. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Triune Being, the great I Am of the Bible. And he inhabited all eternity. We had that in our lesson the other night. About who was it? One of the prophets we called on to stand, so to speak, to testify for us, to be a witness. And who will tell me where that scripture is? Brings it down so plain. 57? Is it Isaiah 57? And 15, we're getting more places than we're using. The great, if any man will seek the Lord, he'll come in and sup with him. And this prophet, as we bring him on the scene, he says here, thus saith, you see, we now have here God speaks. And how does he speak? And what does he speak? Someone ought to get Hebrews 1, have you? Someone read for us. Isaiah 57, is it 15?
That's one word, so.
Just as the high and lofty,
one that inhabiteth eternity.
Thus saith, God is speaking. We've been acquainted with the Lord, we're acquainted with him, but we're going to want to get better acquainted. Acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Here we have a picture and a map that draws our mind on to eternal things. Eternity. Thus saith him that inhabiteth. He lives there. That's his habitation. Eternity. And we're just a little speck out here in time. Time and eternity. I believe that the scale that this is used, 1 inch would equal about 70 years. is time. How much space do we occupy in eternity? If you live to be about 100 years old, why, that would just be one little space here in eternity. You see? Don't amount to much, do we? Don't we? But he thus saith, I know more than he has eternity. And here is the thought, I will dwell. God's idea, his thought, is going to come to his mind. What caused it? Because in Psalm there, we read the other day, he said, for them to make him a habitation. Make him a habitation. That's in Exodus 25:8. And I will dwell with you. I will come down. God will have to get him off of that high and lofty throne. But better be careful here. If man, a sinful man, faces God face to face, he's in trouble. He's gone, isn't he? In this study, as we begin to think on these things, we had a problem right here. How God, get a hold of God, it's difficult. If I, with my sin, and come before him, I'd just be wiped out, wouldn't it? And two words came to me. One was humiliation, and the other was sacrificial, bringing down the sacrifice. That's the only way that we're going to get a hold of God. Yeah. If we can see how much God loved his Son and how he sacrificed, where would I find a scripture to back that up? Golden text of the Bible says, God so loved the world
that he gave.
He looked down. He looked down and he beheld man and he heard the groanings. And I was reading and studying there, and I heard him say, Moses, Moses, the great God of heaven, we're considering now. But how come he said, Moses? He was interesting. There he stepped off of his throne. Didn't have to have Moses or anybody to help him. He was unlimited in all of his glory and splendor and majesty. But he, Moses, Moses. When did you see that? When Moses turned aside, he was coming and he saw that burning bush and he turned aside. And when he turned aside, God said, Moses, Moses. He saw that Moses had turned aside. He was wondering about that burning bush, wasn't consumed. And he said, but wasn't God pointing, take off your shoes, this is holy ground. So he made a holy appearance unto God, unto his man. He stepped off of his throne. You know, we brought that little homely saying that I heard my father say many times, that being so kind and comprehending, stoop so low without bending, and give us the food that was used at the breakfast table, remember? And so he was stooping so low that God was coming off his throne. Moses, Moses. You see, can you see the great God of heaven kind of already favoring mankind, wasn't he? He had heard man, the groanings of mankind. He had heard that he was in bondage and he was yearning for deliverance, and God looked down. Well, that makes us a little better acquainted with him if he's going to stop and speak to man. And he come down and down through humiliation and through intercession, giving himself a sacrifice. Through that sacrifice, we can see that he come down. I mentioned that how we get attached to our children, our loved ones. If one passes away, if you lost a child or some dear one to you, you have some experience of sacrifice, don't you? You had to sacrifice them. You had to give them up and let them go. You have had some experience. God was the author of that experience. He sacrificed his son. Do you hear in about the 26th chapter of Matthew when Christ became so heavy, he's going to run up to the Gethsemane, and he's very heavy, and so he said that Christ when he goes to Gethsemane, and he was very sorrowful, and so you have to help me out there.
And he said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful,
yeah,
even unto death.
Yeah, it was sorrowful. The father, but he said something else there, right?
He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying,
yeah,
oh, my father, if it be possible.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I want, right?
Let this cup pass from me.
Oh, my father. We're talking about the heavenly father, getting acquainted with him, and we see how he loves his son. Oh, my father. Father, if it be possible, what?
If this cup pass from me.
What?
Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
If you have experienced the death of a son very close to you, then you have made a sacrifice, and yet it gets you a little acquainted with God, because God has done the same thing. His son, he said, this is my beloved son, the only begotten of the Father, in whom he
is well pleased.
I am well pleased with him. And here he comes. Oh, my God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Turn me back. Why did God do that? We want to get better acquainted with God this morning. God can't look on sin with any toleration. From the beginning, we have right and wrong. We have God and the enemy. We have light and darkness and all the opposites right to go wrong. We had the scripture over in Habakkuk way home. Do you remember the tone of that voice and just make mention of it? Who remembers Habakkuk? What did he say? Thou art of purer eyes. Your eyes are too pure that you can't look on sin. You can't behold. God has no toleration for sin at all. And that's why, if you come face to face to God, you're just in trouble. We need, as Job said way there in the 9th verse, nothing about it. Tell us what Job said. You have it in your mind, don't you? He said, would that there was a man that would put one hand on God and the other one on man. A dazed man, wasn't it? He called it a dazed man. What does Timothy call it over there in the second chapter? He needs something that we're in trouble now. There's the God of heaven. He's displeased with sin, but he's looking down. He heard a voice, and we hear him say, Moses, Moses. All right, give us a little more there. We better use some of those scriptures we gave out. If you want to, you read one of those that you've been traveling along with. And we want to get to Genesis 3. Get this. Yes, Galatians 4 and 4. We don't want to skip that. In the fullness of time. What did God do?
God sent forth his son.
He sent forth his son.
Made of a woman under the law.
Made
of the law.
And see, that was in time of the law, wasn't it? Here we have the law. The law and the prophets were under John. But since John has come, what do we have?
That time the kingdom of God has been preached and every man presseth into it.
And that's about Luke 16:16, isn't it? The law and the prophets and John, but since then the kingdom of God is preached and man presseth into it. God talking to man, coming down. he heard the voice, and he says, if you hear my voice and open, I will come in and sup with you. He wants to be a little closer today than he was yesterday. And when you read him the word of the Lord, when you're dealing with the Lord, you can feel that he is a little closer to you because you are better acquainted. You have considered how he suffered when his son there, when his son is calling to the Father. Father, if it be possible, we want to talk about Father a little bit. And we have so many scriptures. So these truths, the truths, you just can't contain all of them, can you?
No.
We called Paul to the table, asked him how we're going to do it in time of a Bible study like this. What? How are we going to get a hold of these things? And what was Paul told us? Where was the book that we read? Ephesians 1:18.
The eyes of your understanding.
That the eyes of your understanding. That's what we need, to have our eyes enlightened, that we can understand God, that we can realize that he's not a God far off, that he's just up in the heavens, don't need anything, but we hear him say, Moses, Moses, so worthy, sweet to me, because he's reaching down. He is stepping from his throne, from that lofty. We're not bringing God down off of his throne. He is doing this. He willingly gave his son, didn't he? He gave his son. They didn't take him away, didn't go over there and destroy him and Jerusalem and kill him. He gave his son.
Yes,
the son loved him. The father said, this is my only begotten son in whom I am well pleased. We're just getting along so good. Father, Father, I want you to think about Father and Son. That Galatians 4:4, when everything was worked out, the rightness had come, what did it say? God sent his Son. God sent his Son.
Sent forth his Son, made of a woman.
Made of a woman.
Made under the law.
You ought to have that in your Bible. I believe this is some good truth right along with Galatians 4:4, isn't it? Now, next time I ask you about that, you'll say, oh, yeah, I remember where that is now, and I'm going to forget it. And when I read it, I'm going to think of this picture that we have before us this morning. The great God of heaven looking down on mankind. He heard the groan, the sighs of those to be delivered. And he said, Moses. Oh, they didn't want to say that. We want a deal there anymore. What did you have there about?
Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
That we'd be adopted. What does that mean, to be adopted?
Well, into
the family. Does he say something about?
And because you're sons.
In Acts, the first chapter, he said, which one of the angels did he say that this day I'm going to? He didn't say that to the angels. He said to them, this day have I begotten thee. He said, only you were begotten. Have you been begotten of the Father? Mm-hmm. You're so such a close relative to God, and we don't know him. We still have God afar off. Oh, let's bring him a little closer. He is a God that's nigh to us. If any man will hear my voice and open, I'll come in and sup with him, get better acquainted with him, and we can live for him better. And you'll enjoy the word of the Lord. I mentioned the other night, we've been taking care of some sheep, and we feed those sheep, and here they come. Next time they have remembered that they had some food there, and here they come again. If the Lord has blessed you through his Spirit in reading his word, you're going to want to come back and get some more of that. There's plenty of it left. And he said, what about the Son in 4:4? Is that Galatians? I want to remember Galatians now.
Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father. There's a little difference there. The translation of looking into this scripture He makes a difference between us saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's good, isn't it? That's a prayer, isn't that way? Then they say, right. He gets to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, well, that's good, isn't it? But he's clear, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But here we have a closer relationship. Instead of Father, what did he say there about? He has adopted
us. Because you are Son, God has sent forth the Son of His Father, the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father.
The Spirit in your heart is crying, Abba, Father.
Well, now we're sons through the adoption of sons.
Yeah. Are there another verse below that?
Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Mm-hmm. Albeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no God. But now, after that you have known God,
know it a little better, get acquainted, acquaint thyself with God, and be at peace.
Or rather, or known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly animals?
Don't want no one of those, do we? When the little boy, your little boy or child, he thinks of quite a lot of his daddy. We're talking about father and son now. He thinks of quite a lot of his daddy. My daddy can whoop your daddy, isn't that? Is that the only natural? My God, my daddy is great. He can do anything. And when Father comes home from work in the day, I know by experience, my father, he was a road supervisor, and he'd travel at night in an old lumber wagon across the frozen ground. And as children run out to the road, and we'd put our ears down to hear if we couldn't, you know, where the father, how far away he was, you know, he's coming. You could hear the old rubber wagon just rattling. And the little child runs out to meet his father. And does he say, Mr. So-and-so, well, Father so-and-so, what do you call it? Daddy, Daddy. There's a closeness there. It's different, isn't it? And he is likening us coming to our Heavenly Father, not only our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be, but we're coming to the Heavenly Father. We're coming to Him. And as the little boy runs out and grabs his father by the leg, did you bring my candy, present, or whatever it was? Yes. How close that is. That's pretty close, isn't it? You had experience all that life. That little boy, he thinks that his daddy is old. And they're being the same about the mother. But Abba Father, when you read Abba Father, you want to read more than just, that's my son. This is my father. No, all the close time.
Yes, amen.
Abba. And this is what Christ was crying out. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I trust you get a little thought right along there. In this study, been such a blessing. I was sitting in my chair and all by myself, you know, maybe and me and no encouragement, I mean, spirit all around just seeing what he wanted. And I said, well, he said something about the Holy Spirit being your comforter. And sorrow has filled your heart because I said I go, but if I go not, the Comforter will not come. But when I go, I will send the Comforter. He's going to send His Comforter. And I needed a little comfort that day. And I just reached over on and opened up my Bible like this. And it opened right up to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. And I looked there and said, what did he say?
Comfort ye, my people.
I need some comfort. And I didn't turn the leaves and all that. I just opened the Bible up. Comfort ye, my people. Well, that was comfort to father comforted to his children, don't he?
Yes,
thank the Lord. We have a great God, and we haven't got him near down to where he has gone. Oh, he cried out, Moses, Moses. We ought to, have we got time to study the Word of God, I wonder?
Yes, amen.
Got, let's, in Exodus 3, let's believe it says something about it. You can't find, you just can't, you're handicapped on all sides, but the Lord still comforts our heart and helps us out anyhow. I got my book all marked up here on Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro. That's how it starts out. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. That was about the bush, wasn't it? But in meditation, if you want to get acquainted with God, you love his word. You love him and you love his word. He that loveth him. And how close God and his son. And when the Lord had... Someone read that for us in the fourth verse there.
When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush.
When you turn aside from the things of this world, when you have time, we're so busy. You know why there's so many vacant seats out here this morning? People get so busy they don't have, they have a spirit of going, just get to going somewhere. These automobiles are handy things, but they'll carry you maybe farther away than you. He said he turned aside, didn't he? And he called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, draw nigh there, don't come close. What's the matter here? He said, this is holy ground. You're getting close now when you're getting in contact with the Father. When he speaks to you, my child, what did he say? Oh, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Get quiet. He's going to speak to you. And there's holy ground. Pull off your shoes. Too much between you and the world. Too much of the world around us all. And we're used to all those things. But we ought to move over into the spiritual realm. Where the Spirit is. You know, the Apostle Paul, we called him on the stand the other night. And he said, I have not seen or heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. It's a hard job to get the things of God, isn't it? It's the thing that the Lord has prepared for them to love him. But by my Spirit, for my Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We need the Spirit of the Lord, don't we? To enlighten our hearts and to help us out. What did he say here after Moses? Read that for us a little bit right along there. Seems like there's something good there. Next verse. Abraham.
And I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham.
Oh, here it is now. And where are we reading? Is this Exodus 3?
3.
And Moses said, God said, Moses, he's coming down, he's going to talk to mankind a little bit, didn't he? And what did he say there talking to Moses?
I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Now listen a minute. He said what? I am the God of Abraham. Abraham had been dead 438 years, I believe. And God said, I am the God of Abraham. And that kind of helped me out. When you go leave this world, you're going somewhere. You're going to be somewhere. But this scripture says, after he had been dead over 400 years, I am still his God. Does that help you out a little bit? After you have died and gone on, he's still our God. Did that help you out? Just makes me feel just like those sheep going back to get some more to eat. I like that word, don't you? Give us a little bit more there, wouldn't you?
The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people.
No, up there, I'm the God of Abraham.
I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was
Moses
afraid
hid his face.
To look upon God.
God, thank you. If we just had time to go over in John's Gospel and just sit there a couple hours, I tell you, it's rich. God, Jesus talking to those Pharisees and those Sadducees, and they're kind of condemning and bringing down, and he's bringing out the truth. Said something about, what was it, him seeing his father Abraham? Something, they collared him on that in a hurry. Said, you're only 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham been gone all these years. He thought he really had him fixed that time, didn't he? Abraham, you see, way back here. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. What we're trying to do is to get a method of getting into the Word of the Lord, of studying it and enjoying it, and making us want to come back and get some more. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, now what did he say there when they wanted to tell him how old he was? And what did Jesus answer? Do you remember? Do you have that
before
John?
Abraham was, I am.
What?
He said, before Abraham was, I am.
Now what happened there? He was talking, this is Christ talking? And he was telling those people who were trying to accuse him, wasn't he? You're only 50 years old, I'm talking about Abraham. He sure had it to him. What did God say?
For Abraham was, I am.
Do you like that or not? Before Abraham was, way down here talking to those disciples and those Jews and this formality that's trying to corner him up. And you're only 50 years old. Abraham, you're talking about Abraham. Abraham said, before, what was it? Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. You ought to get the thought right here now. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. So Christ, now what did he say about Abraham? Something else there, did he say?
Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead?
Yeah.
Makest thou thyself?
You're great. You making yourself somebody quite pretty great.
Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say.
They said, you're just bragging on yourself. You're telling how good you are. And wait, he said, my Father, he honors me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I love the Father, and the Father, and we are one. And if two agree of those two immutable things, it is a fact, isn't it? Christ is holding his own. And what else did he say there?
Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him.
Yeah.
And keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
Listen now. Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. Get a hold of that. That's good, isn't it? And said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
He saw it.
Better wait just a little bit here. Give it a little time to see God. Before Abraham was, I am. And Abraham rejoiced way back. And you know when Abraham and his nephew Lot, they had this separate, you know, talk to us a minute. And then Abraham walked out and he looked at the Lord, and the Lord told him, all this is good. All this is good. When you leave those things, Let the Lord work it out with his hand. And then, oh, Abraham saw my day. And I want you to get that. Abraham, by faith, saw my day that the Lord suffered. Does Abraham know anything about suffering? Did he sacrifice his son? In Genesis 22, it tells us that Abraham had the knife, didn't he? And there was a sacrifice. Abraham, do thyself no harm. You have obeyed me. And the ram was out there in this picture. He saw my day. Abraham saw the plan of salvation tied up into the cross. Well, now, how far is our insight? How far are you looking? Looking today, how far can you see? Abraham saw my day and was, what did he do? Made him happy, didn't he? He rejoiced in the season. I said, well, this must be Bible. This must be the doings of the Lord. He said, oh, Abba Father, Abba Father. I want you to get that. Abba Father. We have a lot of... I can't even tell what time it is. Don't make any difference.
5 to 12. You say Abba Father.
5 to 12.
You say Abba
Father. Let's turn to Luke 15. You know about where we're going now? Luke, Abba Father, this is my Father. That Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, Abba Father, you're my Father. Did you bring my candy today? That love, that closeness, just goes on. Yes, here it is. It's all about that. He kept it in the great son. Abba Father. All right, it was a fun man. He had two sons, didn't he? We want to hurry right along here. Is that in Luke 15?
Yes.
Luke 15, something about he had two sons, and what does that say? We're belying for
him. One was a prodigal and left, and one has been with him all along. Two sons.
Yeah.
One left the father and came back, and one stayed with him all along.
His father.
Father's
like
when he was a long way off.
Abba's father, when we're born into, I tell you, if you die, if you're dead spiritually, you're going to have to be brought to life. If death is being separated from God, life is being brought back to God. Being born, not of flesh, nor the word and all those things, but born of God. That's what the word says. So when you're born of God, you're brought back in your family. All right, and this boy, he said, I'm just going to make trip. Paraphrase a little bit.
And in the first part, he went into...
Went into a far country.
Mm-hmm.
Wasted his goods.
Wasted all his goods.
Right, you live a long time, and I can't keep the scriptures in my mind. I don't know why. I know John 3:16, but I can't remember those others at all. All in the many sermons and messages and the preachers that have exhorted you, and the word says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Are you ever ashamed that you don't know the word of God any better than you do? What is the excuse? I'm just too busy. I don't have time. He wasted his time. Wasted years. Oh, how foolish. What did it say? Turn around. It's time to turn around. You've been wasting your mind and your time seeking the things and figuring things out. Here's where to find the rich things of the Lord. Abraham saw my day and he was glad. He rejoiced. He rejoiced. Thank the Lord. All right, this boy, but he's trying to come to himself.
Said he came to himself. Mm-hmm. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's?
My father, there's father again, Abba, father. Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed. No, thou art my father.
I will arise and go to my Father.
Said what?
That I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
What did you say when God looked down in your heart telling you how holy he was? When Isaiah in the 6th chapter, he said he saw the Lord high and lifted up. The holy train just filled the whole. And what did the music, what was the tune again? Did it say holy?
Holy, holy,
holy. Holy, holy. They bowed on their knees and cried holy. I love that, don't you? Crying, getting in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you, if the teardrops, ducts have been clogged up, you get a glimpse of the Father and you'll see those tears coming down his face again. Oh, I was lost. I was away. I was a wretched sinner. I would have been ruined before now. Oh, my God. When I see him, he's reaching down, stooping. He didn't only say, Moses, Moses, but he said, thou art the man. You're in trouble. And I was in trouble. I don't know if there's anybody here that has met my mother-in-law, Sister Jennings, some of them, Francis D. Forrest and Francis Taylor, they met her. And the last year she was praying a woman, and she was my former wife's mother, and she was praying for us. And she didn't bind it and force us and all good, but she was praying. Prayer will do a lot more.
Yes, amen.
And my wife got saved. She had been with her mother and she knew both about this truth. And I was ignorant. I didn't know a thing. Out under the old apple tree, I found a piece of the Bible and it told about Adam and Eve. The creation, I said, didn't know it, but God looked down in my heart, and my wife got saved, and there we was. I was working, I had to go to work before daylight, and I go to work, and I was in trouble. Wife had been saved, my mother-in-law was saved, the Lord was dealing with them, and there was the presence of the Lord, the divine circle, but I was standing outside. My children don't know. I went to work in Boston. Said, are you sick? What's the matter? The Lord. And after a couple of days carrying that room, one morning, very before daylight, I went to work, wife was saved. The Lord was using her. And there in the kitchen, the old came by. I pulled the chair and came down on me, bare floor. I went down before the Lord and she said, let's pray. And when I got up, oh,
thank the Lord.
I was so light to the
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. And now I was in the circle.
Yes, amen.
The fellowship of the saints is great.
Amen.
Thank God. Abraham saw that. He saw what God's going to do with his people. He loves his people. He wants them to be saved.
Yes.
He wants the church houses to be full. He wants the people to know his word, to love him, to get acquainted with God. But when he looks down, I wonder, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking. That Abba Father, what did he say about that? He went, the Father saw the Son coming, Oh, well, that's what he did.
He rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Oh, thank you. Is that all? Is this going to give him a kiss and the way they went? Father and son. No, what else?
The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And
that'll bring something over. Confession.
Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and
bring
put it on.
Forth the best. Then it's killed the fattest in the
put it on the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf.
Bring the fatted calf in.
Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
This kind of happy place. Did it say in heaven is more rejoicing over
one sinner
than over
yes, amen.
Jude over there, he said, seven from Adam, said he's going to come with 10,000 of his angels. He hadn't had a taste of already.
Yes.
Abraham isn't the only one who can see God. He wants us to be in touch with God. And to know, and when we read along there, and you're a son of God, and you cry out, Abba, Father, that means more. I believe that'll touch God through me.
Yes, amen.
Better than this Mr. So-and-so. Oh, this is my brother. May the Lord help us this morning. There's so much of that truth. That Abba, Father, that closeness. And you know that circle, that three albums in the side of that circle. And we stayed in there about 35 years. Well, the mother was taken away before that. But we had a good time. She was quiet. She wasn't boisterous. She was had a meek and quiet spirit. She was a keeper of home among the children. And she was one to lead you to the Lord. I went to their house many times. And the little house out there, she was up there praying.
Yes, amen.
Thank the Lord this morning that we can live for Him. We love Him. Acquaint thyself with God and be at peace. I believe I know Him a little better than I did before. Don't you think you've been knowing Him a little better? You can come bold, a little more boldly to His throne and just not so far off, but He said, He's the God that is nigh. May the Lord bless you. Maybe someone else. We didn't get a scripture going for, but didn't we? Gonna mix some gods with them. And what did those gods say?
These are the gods that brought you up. You see, God said, have no other gods before us, and this cat god business that they made and broke the gold and all. And they said, these are the gods that brought you up. That's a big lie, and you're not that. Moses didn't like that at all. And he took that cat and he ground it up into powder and he talked on it and he threw the thing away. God don't like sin of bed. He won't tolerate it. You can stoop so low without me. He didn't bend to it. He is still a holy, just, faithful God of all creatures. And he loves everyone. There's a lot of it in there. I've enjoyed drinking.